We welcome Mayor Brian Treese into the KFRU studios to talk about tonight's city council meeting, anything else that we can bring up. And the callers, you can help us do that by calling at 442-8255 or 1-800-229-5378. Mayor, good morning.
Hey, good morning, David.
Used to hearing that now, aren't you? It's been a month plus.
I just gloss over it.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. Let's talk about the pre-council meeting tonight, because I think that's an interesting topic to talk about. We've concentrated on our first visits with you, and we're going to spend time talking about it, I would suspect, in this 25-minute to 26-minute segment, talking about things of immediate concern to right downtown. But as you know, the city is a lot more than just the downtown area, and this happens to be transmission lines in the south part of the city that are on hold right now because the council, prior to you, made a decision then retracted that decision and said, well, we'll make another decision. What will happen at the pre-council meeting tonight?
Well, this is a dilemma that I inherited from the previous administration. And, you know, I think the council appropriately pressed pause on the path for these high-voltage power lines. But to say they are not inextricably linked to downtown is probably inappropriate. The reality is they need additional power in this part of fast-growing Columbia, in part so that they can liberate some switches and push additional capacity downtown. And so I assume that the next question you ask me is going to be about luxury student housing, and this decision is part and parcel of that because it does allow them to make some switches to expand capacity. And, you know, when I talk about cannibalizing our neighborhoods to subsidize this type of growth, that's exactly what's happening in one of our nicest neighborhoods in Southern Columbia. So the choice is, do we go with option A? Do we pursue option B or B2? Or is there a C or a D? And I may even throw out an E tonight, just to make sure that we're doing our due diligence with these.
I understand what you're saying about making sure we have power downtown, but you understand what I'm saying is that you are associated, especially early on and through your campaign, with downtown.
Absolutely.
Do you have anybody that says, hey, we're out here, too, on the periphery, and we want to know how you feel about some of the issues that are pressing, which is the placement of those? I don't think there's a – I'm not sure if the debate is over whether we have to have them or not. It's just where will they impact a neighborhood or
no,
not.
And in fact, I think part of that debate propelled me to victory in the 5th Ward. You know, we're going to – so what's going to happen tonight is our water and light professionals are going to present some reconfigurations and manifestations of A, B, and B2 and try to get some sense of counsel of what direction we want to go. And I want to throw out some other alternatives that encourage cost sharing with our other utility partners that create that redundancy and interconnectivity that staff say they need in our electrical service. And you know, look, I said during the campaign, if Columbia is going to be one of the fastest growing cities in the Midwest, we need a blueprint. And I think basic 161 capacity is probably an essential component of that blueprint. And I want to make sure that we're planning not just 5 years into the future, but probably 15, 20 years into the future.
Help those who don't understand your reference to 161. 161 capacity is?
High voltage, 161 kilovolts, mm-hmm. High capacity, high voltage power lines.
So could there be a vote on this tonight?
There won't be a vote per se. You might get a an indication of council as to where which path has the political will to bring forward. And you know, that may require another interested parties meeting. And if so, we should take the time necessary to make sure there's appropriate input on it.
Could a decision of this stature ever be made in a pre-council meeting? I just wonder. I'm asking the technicality of this, or does there
it's
have to be something?
A good question. I'd have to go back and look to see how they imposed the delay on their original decision, and if that would naturally expire. I guess so. If there was, but you know, I think. Look, I've made transparency a leg of my administration. I want to make sure that we're doing it in a public hearing with substantial public process.
So when you say that it helped propel you to victory in Ward 5, refresh our memories as to what position you took that might have been attractive to those voters.
Well, I didn't support A or B or B2. I thought we needed to go out further south. Beyond our existing residential neighborhoods. And look, I'll be clear, the city has an ordinance in place that prohibits cell phone towers in residential areas except as a last resort. the city ordinance goes on to say that a cell phone tower can only be as close to the nearest structure as it is tall. So if you have a 100-foot cell phone tower, you can't be within 100 feet of a nearest structure. And that's to prevent the obvious, that tower falls, you don't want it to hit anything. So here we are putting in 120-foot tall utility poles 28 feet from a nursing home. That doesn't make any sense to me. And so I want to make sure that we are exploring all alternatives, including those that avoid residential neighborhoods.
Do you want to give us a clue as to what option E that you might propose tonight includes?
You'll have to show up at pre-council.
Oh, come on. They don't televise that one. Well, you should televise that tonight.
And I want to give staff the opportunity to come forward and present some of these options, and I want to make sure that council has the opportunity in that public work session to ask probing questions and make sure that we're all getting the information at the same time.
Wonder if we have any 120-foot tall towers already.
Well, look down at Lenore. That would be similar to the tower on Highway 63 and Lenore Village there. There's a 161 kV line there, and that would be about what you would see running down Nifong and Vauder School Road or through the Cascades or through Thornbrook.
Do you have any preference as to the timeline on this? Tonight, looking at options, getting out, talking about it, you say you'd like to be transparent. You'd like to have an opportunity for perhaps the public to weigh in with new comments on new options. So how quickly does this need to be made? I would say the city manager and the staff would say it should have been made long before now.
I'm sure they're eager for a decision, and I'm also eager to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to weigh in. I think the answer to your question probably depends on whether there is a majority or consensus opinion on council as to where we should go. One of the alternatives I can tell you is a non-starter, at least for me, and that would be, well, if you don't want it down Nifong, let's put it down Chapel Hill. Well, that's the equivalent of saying, if you don't like it in the fifth ward, we can put it in the fourth ward. I want to make sure that we're answering all the questions that people have and that we're creating that desirable loop of electrical capacity that cities of Columbia size need to have to grow into the future.
Since this is the main issue on the pre-council meeting tonight, will it be held in a different way, a different place, a different area for public to be able to be there?
As far as I know, it'll be in conference room A and B on the first floor of City Hall. And whether it takes the full 2 hours or not, I think we have booked that much time because it's highly technical. It's complicated material. We're looking at a lot of maps and a lot of variations, and I don't know that there will be public input there, which is another reason why I would want to make sure that this comes back at the appropriate time.
And you're not anticipating a time for the public to weigh in tonight?
Unless there's plenty of opportunity, we've heard from staff. Typically, that's not an advertised part of that meeting. Although there's some people that, if they have strong feelings, I'll recognize them.
Transmission lines, high voltage transmission lines on the agenda or on the calendar for tonight's pre-council meeting. Mayor Brian Treese is our guest. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and move on to other topics next on KFRU. News Talk 1400 KFRU, part of the programming on KFRU, is brought to you by MyCleanPC.com. Slow-writing computer, get help with MyCleanPC.com, which gives you a free computer diagnosis. Our guest is Mayor Brian Treese. We're talking about city council business, especially tonight. It'll be on the agenda and other conversation that will be taking place between the council members led by Brian Treese when he brings the pre-meeting, which is going to talk about what's new and what might be developing as far as high-voltage transmission lines. We talked about that a moment ago. And now let's move on to a couple of other issues that will be taken up by the city council tonight. Before we talk about development, I'm probably in danger here of shortening our time on talking about development, but I want to talk about the issue where many groups have chimed in ever since the last meeting, whether they would be for or against increasing the the tax on a hotel room from 4% to 5%. You've had important groups on both sides of that matter.
We have. And, so the proposal is to increase Columbia's transient guest tax from 4% to 5%. By comparison, Jeff City's is 7%. I think when most of us travel to Kansas City or St. Louis, we're paying potentially double that in terms of that sales tax, that lodging tax that goes on our nightly hotel room fees, and that would be dedicated to construction of a new airport terminal under the auspices of economic development. I'll tell you, David, my mind's not made up on that, and I've heard from people on both sides of that. I want to make sure that that there's sufficient support from the business community to support that. They buy a lot of those room nights, including the university and shelter insurance and some of those, that we're going to be passing on those fees to them. Of course, Veterans United uses that airport considerably, not only to export their professionals to their Dallas office, but to bring their field staff into Columbia for meetings here. They're going to be paying a lot of that gas tax as well. And then to make sure that we look at a comprehensive financing plan for that airport terminal that really incorporates a lot of local and regional financial support for it.
If not paying for it by an increase in that tax, how else would you see paying the city's portion of what it would take to build a new terminal?
Well, it's a chicken and egg problem, and I think at some point that a new terminal supports itself with increased enplanements, and the data that I've seen on it is pretty compelling. It's interesting that we now have as many enplanements, meaning passengers buying tickets and flying in or out of Columbia, as we did at the peak of Ozark Airlines in 1973, I think, 78. And it's about 68,000 a year incoming and outbound. And yet that airport terminal hasn't changed in the last 40 years. And I think we all recognize that we need to make some improvements there. The question is, how much do those improvements cost? What is the minimum that we need to meet current and projected and peak demand into the future? And we had that report from our airport consultants 2 weeks ago at a work session. And I think that's what you'll see again tonight with a pretty rigorous financing plan for it.
You like the idea for the new location for the terminal?
I do. I think it eliminates the need for eminent domain and some substantial highway improvements to access that. It also is closer to access the runway. And the other thing that I would propose is the existing terminal. We're not phasing in a reconstruction of that existing terminal, which means we have an asset there that can either be leased or sold with the proceeds going back into the capital improvement of that new terminal.
The decision tonight would be whether to place the issue on the August ballot.
That's correct.
You're not making a decision to raise the tax. You're making a decision whether voters would have a say in raising the tax.
Correct. We want to ask voters whether they want to impose that additional 1%. On transient guests when they come to Columbia. And there's also a companion resolution that I asked for at our last meeting, and that is to protect those hoteliers that have to collect and remit that tax, as well as the consumers that pay for that tax and our businesses that support that tax when they book conventions and trainings and things in Columbia, is that if that tax generates more than we anticipate, and if the airport terminal comes in at a lower cost, that we pay that debt off sooner, and as soon as we pay off that debt, that 1% is retired, meaning it is rolled back. So we want to make sure that we have I think that provides some certainty as well as some financial security that we're going to only use the, right now it would be authorized for 23 years, but if we pay that debt off sooner, if we collect more tax than anticipated, we pay that off and we roll that 1% back.
Of the 4% that is collected now go towards the airport in any ways?
Not to my knowledge. I think that's all part of the economic development and encouragement of those events that generate more room nights.
Let's talk about what you have brought up and asked for a decision tonight. And that would be, is it correctly called an administrative delay?
Yeah, it's an administrative delay, very temporary, geographically specific delay in the issuance of demolition and building permits. You know, when I was campaigning, nobody said, I think we need more student housing. In fact, just the opposite. And when you start looking at the market analysis of what's going on in Columbia, I think the council has a real responsibility to prevent a luxury student housing bubble that's about to burst.
You added demolition to that because originally was demolition a part of this conversation?
It was more generic that when the language came out, it said permits, and I thought it was important to clarify that it was both demolition and building permits. And again, what demolition is so irretrievable that, you know, even if you didn't have a building permit, it's the damage of removing that asset, if you will, from the National Register District of our downtown Columbia.
It seems to me like part of the conversation deals with how the university cooperates with this, how the university is how it is as a citizen of a community where it plays a really big role. What's the relationship like, in your opinion, between the city and the university? And what should be any communication dealing with this particular issue with the university?
Oh, I think it should be better than it has been. And I can tell you, one of my first phone calls in the morning after the election was to Chancellor Hank Foley. I'm having lunch with Gary Ward next week. And I can tell you, just based on those early conversations, I mean, what the information that they're sharing with me should be a wake-up call to all of us. Last week, Gary Ward told me that they anticipate 2,630 fewer students this fall than last fall. The university, right after the election, just closed two additional dormitories, including those that they had already mothballed during their new construction process. I mean, look, it doesn't matter if these are private student developments or dormitories. Nobody benefits if these units are only 80% occupied. They're not profitable beyond that, and that means no one can make their debt service, and that creates a scenario where we have a series of obsolete and distressed properties that we all pay for. And from the city's perspective, you know, we're using the projections of the number of beds that are going to be created to base our infrastructure improvements, right? Those high-voltage power lines in South Columbia, that 12-inch flat branch relief system. And we're paying for those based on the monthly utility rates of projected consumers. And if those tenants don't materialize, that means those monthly utility bills aren't being paid. And that means, David, you and I are paying for that, or we're extending the debt over a longer period of time.
That would be the principal argument you would use against people who would say, let the builder beware. If they want to build it, let them build it. It's their property.
And in a free market, I am totally on board with that. And I struggle with that. And I indicated that at my very first meeting when I brought that up. But this market is so distorted because the city is, in effect, subsidizing those units with cheap infrastructure, no parking, little reparking requirement, and really no requirement that you have to have retail or you know, those types of services on the first floor. And so all we're doing is making it cheaper to build these units in Columbia, which in turn increases the property values of, and not that that's a bad thing, but when you have increased property values, it makes it less likely for someone to want to support the small business owner, the barbershop, you know, the coffee shop in that first floor, when they know they could get much more if it was a residential use.
How sure are you that there will be a vote taken on this tonight?
I'm going to push for a vote.
I know that one of the council persons has been quoted as saying that we've just begun a really good, healthy conversation on this. Let's table it. And you know you're going to have at least a couple, perhaps, who publicly said not going to support this.
This discussion has been going on for 2 years, and there have been people in this community that have dragged their feet this whole time, and that is what has created the dilemma and the problem that we have today. We need to take a vote on this, and we need to take a pause. What's the rush, David?
If there is a pause, if there is this administrative delay, what would be the next thing that would be productive to have happen from your point of view?
We need to move that uniform development code through planning and zoning, get that in front of city council to give developers the predictability they need that this is how we're going to be doing this. We're phasing out the C2 loophole that allows this unlimited residential growth where we should be having retail and commercial and office space, and make sure that, you know, the sooner we can do that, the sooner this administrative delay can go away.
That has been something that is ongoing, talking about the building code and those codes for a long time.
The city needs
a little goose in the behind.
And I have conveyed as much, and we're going to appoint two new planning and zoning commissioners today, and I hope that they will do that as well. You know, what I want to make sure we do, the city has spent $150,000 on a consultant to help rewrite our outdated code. You know, the code that we have now was built in the 1950s when our population was in the 40,000s. And now we're at 108,000, soon to be 120,000. And some say that could double over the next 30 years. We need to make sure that we have a modern, up-to-date code that encourages the type of growth that we want while protecting what we have.
Preside over a good meeting tonight, okay?
It would be my pleasure.
Always good to talk to you. Thank you.
You too.
Mayor Brian Treese on KFRU Columbia, a couple of minutes away from the morning meeting.